Today, we are in part 17 of our series called Supernatural. And if you've been around for any of it, you know we're going through the entire book of Acts together over the course of this entire year. And it's been so powerful so far. It's been a lot of fun. I hope that you have learned a whole lot. And man, last week we were in Acts chapter 10. The week before, we were in Acts chapter 9. So can you guys guess what chapter we're in today? Come on now. Acts 13, okay, Acts 13. I'm messing with you guys. Yeah, we're Acts chapter 11 today. I just messed with you guys a little bit this morning. But the title of the message today is The Hand of the Lord. Somebody say, the hand of the Lord. Come on, let's get into it. Acts 11, starting in verse 19, it says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." It says the Lord's hand was with them. Isn't that incredible? Leave that up for a second. The Lord's hand was with them. How many of you want the Lord's hand to be with you? Come on, I need the Lord's hand to be with me. I don't want to walk with my own hand, my own devices, my own plans, but I need the hand of the Lord to follow me, to lead me, to direct me, and to guide me in my everyday life. The Lord's hand was with them. And so a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot of passages in Scripture about the hand of the Lord being with a person or with a people group. Many times you see it says the hand of the Lord was with someone, or many times it says the Spirit of the Lord was with this person, and they were able to do the thing that God had asked them to do. But most of the time what you see is the hand of the Lord being with the Israelites, with God's people in the Old Testament. Or you see the Spirit of the Lord was with them. And many times even Joshua and Moses and different people, they say the Spirit of the Lord is with us. God has placed his hand on this. And they even declare it, actually, that God is with them in this way. Listen, I don't know about you, but man, I want the hand of the Lord to be with me. I want the hand of the Lord to be on this church. I want the hand of the Lord to be on you and on your family. Why? Because when the hand of the Lord is with you, man, who can come against you? Come on now, like nothing can stop us. And that's the verse that I always come back to. As in, if God is for us, who can be against us? If the Lord's hand is with us, who could be against us? Let me give you an example. You might have seen this here up here, and you're like, what is this? If you saw my post, you already know what it is. The sinners know what this is, okay? You know what I'm saying? So the faithful, they have no idea what this is right here. It's like, is this a briefcase? Like, what is this, you know? This is actually a little poker set right here. We got a whole poker set here. We got the chips, you know, okay? And we got the white ones, the red ones, blue, black. We got some green here, you know what I mean? We got the cards. We got the blind, all this stuff. And this is a little poker set. And so I just want to give you a little example today. You know, first off, this is not mine. It's actually a member of our church that had this, okay? And I'm not going to tell you which one, all right? So, to protect him. No, I'm just kidding. It's all good. But I'm going to give you an example. When I was in college, I used to play poker. In Bible college, yes, we would play poker in the dorms. Not with real money, all right? We would just play with the chips. It was for fun. Why? Because we were broke college kids. We ain't got no money, right? We were playing with the chips. We were just having a blast, having a good time. And so I had a nice poker set. And would play with some friends. And I remember there was a time in particular, okay, when my friend was just winning every single hand. I don't know if you've ever played poker before or if you ever played a game. Really, even if you're just playing any kind of card game with your family or your friends or whatever it might be, you might get into this thing where it's like the same person is winning every single time. You could be playing Uno, right? And it's like, how are you winning every single time? Like, this is so infuriating to the point where it was actually just funny now, okay? Like all of us at the table are just laughing because like there's nothing we could do. It's like no matter what cards we are given, no matter what hand we have, it's like this dude is going to win every time. It was a beatdown. We all ran out of chips so fast and our friend was the victor. So, but how many of you know that we all had a hand that we were playing? It's not like we weren't playing the game. It's not like we weren't trying to win the game. We were all trying We were just failing miserably. We all had cards, but one hand was always better than ours. One hand was always stronger than the rest. One hand always came out on top. And let me tell you, the hand of the enemy is real. I want you to know this, that the hand of the enemy is real, that the devil is sitting at the table. He's sitting at the table with you and the Lord, and he is playing his hand against you. He's playing his hand against your family. He's playing his hand against me. He's come to play. He's sitting at the table, but what does the word of God say? That he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming to steal some chips right out from underneath you. Come on now. He's come to steal. He's come to kill. He's come to destroy, and he's playing against you and the Lord. But the good news is that the hand of the Lord always defeats the hand of the enemy. Come on, somebody say amen. The hand of the Lord always defeats the hand of the enemy. Jesus wins every single time. He is 100-for-100 on his free throws. He's batting 1,000. We serve a God who doesn't even know what defeat looks like. He has never taken an L in his entire life. All he does is win, 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 no matter what. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about, millennials. All he does is win. We serve the champion of the universe. No one compares to our God. Amen. Amen. The devil's going to play his hand against you, and there will be times in your life, come on, where it feels like he's attacking from all sides. Some of you might be feeling that way right now. Devil's coming against me. Feels like his flaming arrows, like it talks about in the Bible, are coming at me from left and right. Can't get away from them. Whether it's family, finance, relationships, job, your spiritual life, sin in your life, you're just kind of feeling like attacked by the enemy around all sides. Situations that just like, what in the world? What is happening right now? When life gets tough, when those storms come and it gets rough, but let me tell you, I believe when the devil puts his hand against me, God puts his hand for me. And when the devil puts his hand against you, if you will put your trust and your faith in him, if you will fix your eyes on the one who is able to solve the problems that you're going through, God will put his hand for you. And when his hand is for you, no hand can play against you. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know in all things, somebody say all things. All things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God can turn every evil plan that the enemy has for you around for good. Every bad situation, every difficult time you've ever gone through, God can turn it around for good. And that's what we see three times in this passage that we're really about to look at about the city of Antioch. We're going to look at this, and it's three times really. If I had an alternate title for the message today, it would be The Three Winning Hands in Antioch. But I went with the more spiritual version just to be safe, the hand of the Lord, okay? So, but there's three times in this passage that we're about to read where it looks like the devil has won. It looks like he has the winning hand. But then God flips over his cards and takes the whole pot. Come on now, somebody. Oh, I can't wait for this. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Acts 11:19. Now those who have been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. So, remember in Acts 7, Stephen stands up for his faith, right? And he stands up against these religious leaders. We talked about it 4 weeks ago, okay? And stands up for his faith. He gets martyred. He's the first person that is killed for his faith in Jesus. Then immediately after, in Acts chapter 8, it says that all the believers were persecuted and they were scattered all over Judea and Samaria, which is where? It's Israel, right? They're scattered. And really, this is 30 miles, 40 miles, 50 miles. Okay, they're kind of scattered all over the place. They're running for their lives. And now in Acts chapter 11, it gives us much more information, though, that these believers scattered way farther than just Judea and Samaria. But they actually made it 300 miles north all the way to a city called Antioch. In Acts 11:20-21, it says, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. This is the first time the devil thought he won. This is hilarious. He says, he thought he won. I killed one of their leaders. Stephen was a leader in the church. Now they're all afraid. Look at him run. Look at him run. They're going all over the place. They're 300 miles away in Antioch now. They ain't going to be able to do nothing there. They're all scared. They're all demotivated. They're demoralized. They're not going to be able to stick together. There's no way the message of Jesus is going to be able to get out because they're all over the place. The channels of communication are going to break. Oh, this is going to be good. There's no way the message of Jesus will continue to spread. Now, he thought he had the winning hand. This is the first time he thought he had the winning hand. But my first point for you today is the hand of the enemy pushed believers to run from their persecution. But the hand of the Lord guided them straight to their purpose. Somebody say amen. Come on now. They were running away from persecution, but God flipped that thing around and turned it for good by giving them a purpose there in Antioch. It says that many, many came to know the Lord because of the believers that were there in Antioch. They were just trying to escape and stay alive. They were just trying not to get killed. But God turned it around and used them to bring life to the city of Antioch. Isn't that amazing? You got to know how mad the devil was. I love when the devil gets mad. I love when I get to make the devil mad. First off, I think this makes the devil mad. Come on now. Doesn't it? Believers gathering together. Oh, it makes him so mad. He had them running in fear, scarred with trauma. You got to remember, these are their family members and their friends that are being killed, that are being put in prison. That's traumatizing. That's terrifying. Thinking, I might be next. Running away. But then it says that God's mighty hand was with them. And no matter if you're afraid, no matter if you're terrified, no matter if you're running in fear, if you can fix your eyes on the Most High and recognize that his hand is with you, nothing can stop you from the purposes he has for you. They boldly shared the good news of Jesus. So many people get saved. He had scattered them thinking it would break them. But in reality, what did it do? It made them much stronger. And it just made the message of Jesus spread faster. What a dummy. He thought he had it. And yet, he actually did the opposite thing. The message spread faster because of them fleeing away. It was their suffering. Catch this. It was their suffering that brought them to a place where they would be able to make the greatest impact. Amen. Their suffering, the difficulty, the hard times that they went through, the trauma that they experienced was the very thing that brought them to the actual place in Antioch where they could make the greatest impact for the kingdom of God. Now, let me turn this around to you today. Some of you have gone through some stuff. Some of you have gone through some junk. And it's really messed with you in your mind, and you're still thinking about it. Some of you are going through some hard times right now. I don't know what you're going through, but listen, if the devil had his way, you would let those experiences, you would let that pain, and you would let that suffering keep you down. He wants you depressed. He wants you defeated, thinking about your past, paralyzed by fear, unable to move forward. But what if? What if God could redeem those experiences from your past and redeem them for good to bless somebody else? What if the very thing that you are dealing with right now that you're like, I don't know the answer. I don't know how to get out of this. This is so hard. This is so difficult. I don't know what I'm doing here, God. What if the very thing you're dealing with right now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe even 1 year from now, could be the very thing that sets somebody else free? Amen. God can redeem those hard experiences. And 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, if you're going through a hard time right now and you need comfort from the Lord and you're like, there's no way God could use what I'm going through right now to bless somebody else, screenshot this right now. You're gonna need it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Isn't that amazing? What you went through or what you are going through right now is not all for nothing. Do not let fear win. Do not let the devil have the upper hand in your life. But let the Spirit of God redeem those hard times for good. Maybe your suffering has brought you to a place now where you can make the greatest impact. Maybe physically, like they were literally taken to a place in Antioch where they can make a great impact. But I'm just talking about in your own life, Maybe your suffering has brought you to a place in life that you can bless somebody else and God can redeem that thing and make a great impact in somebody else's life. You may have been dealt a terrible hand. You might have been given a 2-3 off suit. Come on now, for those of you that know. What is that for those of you that know? It is called a bad hand, okay? Like, it's a bad hand. If you're given a 2-3, it's a 2 of hearts and a 3 of diamonds, all right? What is the first thing a good poker player is going to do? Fold. Ain't nothing I can do with that. I'm not going to win with this hand. Are you kidding? No, absolutely not. Fold. Oh, man, I hope you're already with me. Come on now. It'd be easy to fold and give up with that hand. But God can turn any hand around, okay? Listen, you see, he already knows what's ahead. You and your vision, you only have the 2 cards in front of you. Say, well, this is a bad hand by all standards. There's no way I can win with this hand. With this life I've been given, with this situation I'm going through, there's no way I can win here. But listen, God sees ahead and he knows which cards are coming next. He already knows what's ahead. And you might have a 2-3, but God knows that there's a 4, 5, and 6 about to come on the turn or on the river, whatever it might be. Listen, come on, people now. And he's going to make your path straight. Come on, somebody. See what I did there? Here we go. Come on now. He's going to give you a straight right there. He's going to make your path straight. He's going to help you. And this way, you don't see ahead, but God knows what's coming up. You might have been given a bad hand. You might have been dealt a bad hand in life. But man, God can flip all things around. All things. What the enemy meant for evil, God can turn to good. Amen? God never wastes your pain. He always has a plan. God always has a plan. So many people are getting saved in Antioch. And then it says, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done, and he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So, what is the city of Antioch? We were talking about Antioch. I just feel like it would help if we knew what Antioch is, right? Many of you are like, yeah, it just sounds like a city to me. Don't really know much about it. So, Antioch was the 3rd largest city in the Roman Empire, right behind Rome and Alexandria. The Roman Empire is massive, y'all. You got to remember, this is a large city we're talking about here. Think of it like, for modern example, we have LA and New York, okay? But it's not LA, New York. That's Rome and Alexandria. This would be more like Houston, okay? Massive city, big city, a lot of business, a lot of commerce, a lot of trade going through there. They also have this in common, that Antioch had a large seaport where trade would go in and out. And it was the largest place of trade and of commerce and this hub of commerce in the eastern part of the Roman Empire. Similar to how in Houston, you would have ships coming in and out, bringing in international trade, international goods and all that stuff. Very, very similar. So it's this bustling economic hub, multicultural, very business-oriented. And the Enduring Word commentary on Acts 11, it says, one might say that Jerusalem was all about religion. Rome was all about power. Alexandria was all about intellect. Athens was all about philosophy. Adding to that, one might say that Antioch was all about business and immorality. About business and immorality. These are the things that defined the city of Antioch when these believers first show up. So Antioch was a sinful city. So when the news reaches Jerusalem, when the news reaches Barnabas, the apostles, and all the other disciples, that people are being saved in Antioch, you've got to imagine Barnabas is like, what? For real? You guys said how many people got saved? In Antioch. Like, we're talking about the same place, right? Antioch, that's where you guys are at. That's where all these people are getting saved. Man, I got to come check it out. But the enemy had been working in Antioch for years and years and years. And he had been infecting people with sin. They were doing some evil, evil things that I don't even want to get into. They were practicing evil in the eyes of God. And Satan is probably thinking, once again, I got the winning hand. I got the city on lock. God isn't doing anything in this city. The message of Jesus is not going to get here at all. They're not serving God. They're serving me. But my second point for you today, the second time that the devil lost, was that the hand of the enemy made Antioch sinful, but the hand of God, the hand of the Lord brought Antioch salvation. Amen? Come on. It says a great many of people were saved and added to the Lord. So many people turning from sin and receiving salvation that only comes through the name of Jesus Christ. Incredible what God starts to do there. Antioch is this hub of commerce and business and immorality. And you know what's awesome is that God turns it into a hub for Christians. The city became one of the primary places where the apostles would meet together. It became one of the primary hubs where they would actually send, they would train missionaries there in Antioch, and then they would send them out. It was a hub for missions, a hub for the church, a hub for great teaching and great preaching. And wouldn't that be crazy that God, in his sovereign will, when the devil thought he had won in the city of Antioch, was able to say, you know what, let me flip this thing around. And instead of becoming a commerce, instead of a commerce for a hub of commerce and a hub of immorality and of business and of all these awful things, I'm going to turn this into a hub for Christianity, a hub for my name where people would go out from there and actually come to this place to be trained on what it means to be a Christian, trained here in this city for what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. So what do we learn here? Listen, here's what I'm learning. When the hand of the Lord is on a city, there is nothing the devil can do to stop it from being saved. When the hand of the Lord is in something and on something, there is nothing that you can do to stop it from receiving salvation from God. I mean, I believe that God has his hand all over Kyle, Texas. I believe God has his hand all over Hayes County. And I see it in a similar way. It's a growing area that we live in, y'all. It's a bustling place with commerce and new businesses opening up, new places all the time. It seems like every 2 weeks there's a new business that's opening up, a new restaurant. Come on, Waffle House is open in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And the staff, we will be patronizing this place. It'll be amazing. That's the right word. Here we go. Listen. There's all these new people come in, all this new business and all that kind of stuff. But I also see that there's a lot of people that need Jesus. I also see that there's a lot of immorality. And there's a lot of people out there, but you could view it as a discouraging thing, but man, I'm telling you, God wants to do a work in Kyle, Texas, in Hayes County, in the city that you live in, and the neighborhood that you represent here today. God wants to grow the city, not just in numbers, but I believe he wants to grow it in faith. In the name of Jesus, we declare that today. It will become a hub of Christians who are on fire for Jesus. And I believe this church will be right at the center of it. And we already are. It's incredible. And I believe that God wants to raise up some leaders and raise up some Christians that are not just leaders in our church and in our churches, but also in the marketplace, also in education, in business, and in government. Man, God wants his people in positions of power and authority to make a positive change in the places that we live. Amen? And so I'm telling you, it's easy to look around and get discouraged sometimes. It is. So many people, not enough churches, and there's not. Not enough Christians. Wish there were more, right? But God transformed an entire city with a few believers who just started telling people about their faith. How does a city get transformed? One person at a time. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. How does it happen? Let me tell you, it takes a group of people who have the love of Jesus inside of them and the message of Jesus burning inside of them. It takes these people going out and telling one person about the love of Jesus that God has for them. And then doing it again and doing it again. And then those people doing it and doing it again and doing it again and sharing Jesus just by living your everyday life for God. Maybe, to be honest, maybe you're in this place and you are the one person today. Maybe you're the one person that God wants to change today, that God wants to show his radical love for you today. Man, I'm glad that you're here. God has you in the right place today. Like most people in Antioch, man, maybe you're somebody who's living life for yourself. You're living life for your own pleasures. You're not living for God. You're caught up in sin. You might be taking the hand of the enemy. You might be holding on to his hand, but God wants you to take a hold of his hand today. He's reaching out his hand to you, and he's reaching out his hand to me, and he wants you to take a hold of it. The enemy, I think for some of you, the enemy is celebrating because he thinks he's won in your life already. But how amazing would it be if you just got to kick him right in the teeth today? Come on now. Like, I love just making the devil mad. I'm telling you, I really do. Let's kick him in the teeth today. And let's get right with God today, right here, right now. Let's make it happen today. Why would you wait when there's a God who has the winning hand every single time? I don't want to serve this world. I don't want to serve culture. Culture is trying to get me to take their hand. Sometimes I'm living by my own hand and my own plans, my own ways. But man, God wants us to live by his way. So maybe you're that one person today that will be transformed. I don't know. Well, Acts 11, 25, 26, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. So Barnabas is in Antioch, okay? He hears about what's going on. And Tarsus is actually, whoop, just a hop, skip, and a jump away. It's a little bit farther. And he goes and picks up Saul and brings him back, okay? He found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This is so interesting. This is the first time that anybody was ever called a Christian. This is a term that you and I know very well. It's a term that we call ourselves all the time, right? And this is the first time that we ever see it. But they had called themselves many other things before that. They called themselves believers, called themselves disciples, they called themselves saints, just the church in general. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So they called themselves many times followers of the way, which I think is a really cool way to call yourself. But then something changed. Here in Antioch, the believers are given this title Christians, and it actually means little Christ, if you break it down. So Christ itself means anointed one, and Christian would mean little anointed one. So you could say Christ or little Christ. And what's interesting is that it wasn't the Christians, these believers, who started calling themselves that. It wasn't them who coined the phrase. It was literally the haters in Antioch that gave them the name. They were making fun of them with this name. They were saying, oh, you're a Christian? Oh, yeah, little Christ. Right? Yeah, you're following this Jesus? Okay, sure, awesome. They were making fun of them by calling them Christians. It was not something to be proud of. It was a derogatory term. It was the people who rejected Jesus and rejected them that called them Christians first. And to give a modern day example, I suppose, calling someone a Christian back then would essentially be like calling someone an Eagles fan today, right? You know what I mean? No one likes them, you know what I mean? It's like, we got one in the front row here. I had to mess with them a little bit. Number three, the hand of the enemy insulted believers by calling them Christians. The hand of the Lord inspired believers by calling them Christians. At first, it was a jab, an insult, a mockery, a way to make fun of believers in Jesus. But as time went on, these believers actually embraced the name Christian. Why did they do that? Because they actually loved the idea of having a name that associated them with their Savior. Amen? Oh man, they started to love it. They said, you know what? You're making fun of me with that name. We'll embrace it because it associates us with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were proud to be known by his name. Satan thought he won again. He tried to insult them. He tried to mess with them, to put them down, to persecute them, discourage them. But ultimately, the name Christian stuck. And once again, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. It gave them a name to rally behind. It gave them an identity. Where instead of calling ourselves all of these different things, it gave them an identity. Say, hey, this is what we're calling ourselves now. We are all this thing. And it was born out of persecution. But you know what I love? Is that the identity was centered on Christ. The name is centered on Christ himself. And that's the best kind of identity that you could have. It's a Christ-centered identity. Understanding who you are and whose you are. Somebody say amen. Listen, there might be someone in your life that gives you a hard time about your faith. Just like these people in Antioch, the haters, they might call you a Christian or they'll be like, oh, you're a Christian? Like, you believe in God? Like, weirdo, you know? Like, here's the problem. Sometimes that stuff hurts. The reason is because many times it's your family and friends, the ones that are saying it, the people that are closest to you. And you might feel shy about sharing your faith because of it, or you might want to keep it to yourself. But you know what Paul writes in Romans? He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm not ashamed when people put me down and use that word. Actually, I say, you know what? Absolutely, I am a Christian. And I am proud of it. And I hope that that's how we would be as well. He was proud to be called a Christian. The Christians in Antioch were proud to be associated with Jesus. And I, as your pastor, am proud to be a Christian. And I hope that you are too. Men, many people would say, though, today, this is where it's tough. They'd be like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, for sure, I'm a Christian, yeah. But I think the word Christian has lost its meaning. A lot of people claim to be a Christian. But are you, though? You know, like, really? I'm not trying to be mean, just being honest. Today, Christian means someone who believes in Jesus. Back then, being a Christian was somebody that lives like Jesus. It's a difference. Today, Christian means someone who goes to church. Back then, Christian meant someone who is the church. Today, Christian means someone who makes Jesus a part of their life. But back then, Christian meant someone who made Jesus a priority in their life. Today, Christian means someone who lives for Jesus. We say that a lot. I live for Jesus. But back then, Christian meant someone who would die for Jesus. And those are two different things. Most people today are on the fence. They're either half in and half out. They're just kind of riding the fence on this Christian walk, riding the fence on, am I really all in? Am I really not? And listen, this is what happens. You know what Jesus said that he would do with those kind of people? That he would spew them out of his mouth. He literally says, I'd rather you just be all in or all out. And so for the sake of having one more poker reference, I need you to go all in today. I believe that God is looking for some people that aren't going to just sit on the fence and just try to decide and halfway be in and halfway be out and live a double life where in one side of their life, they're for God, and the other side of their life, they're not for God. God is looking for a people that would not be afraid to push all that they have, all the chips to the center of the table and say, you know what, God? I'm banking on your hand right now. I don't even see the cards that you have in your hand, but I know they're good. I don't know what cards are coming up next, but I know they're good because I know your hand is with me. I know your hand is for me. I trust you, God. I am all in. Somebody today needs to go all in with Jesus. And listen, maybe you're in this room today and you wouldn't even call yourself a Christian at all. So you're like, hey, I'm not all in because I wouldn't label myself in that way. You haven't given your life to Jesus yet. You're not even sure what it means to be a Christian. Let me tell you what it is. It's just recognizing that we're all sinners and we all need Jesus. That's what it is. Recognizing, hey, I need a savior in my life. I need somebody to help me in my sin to overcome. And God wants to give you victory in this place today. He wants to put his hand for you. His hand's not against you. He loves you. He cares for you, each and every one of us in this room. How encouraging is that, man? Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Jesus loves you so much, he loved me so much that he died on that cross for you and for me. But 3 days later, he rose again. And that's the best part of the story, is that he is alive and well. And he's here in this place by the power of his Holy Spirit, moving, speaking, touching hearts and touching lives. And he's calling somebody to really just go all in. I really do feel that. So what is being a Christian? If I could summarize it, I think it's giving your life to the one with the better hand and the better plan. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's going to win every time. And his hand is with you today. You know, there's some people that I think need to get right with God and need to give their life to Jesus. But I just feel like this message is just really supposed to be an encouragement. That there are some people that you're going through some really hard times. And I just believe the Lord wanted to let you know today that his hand is with you. And he's with you. He's got you. And no matter what you're going through, he's with you. And he's here to encourage someone today, no matter what you're facing, the difficult challenge that you have, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's relational, spiritual, mental, I don't know. But his hand is with you. And all we have to do is seek after the Lord. And it's going to be tough. Here's the problem. Because you're going through it right now and you feel like you've been dealt this terrible hand. And you feel like Satan's attacking. You feel like it's a spiritual attack or just life is happening. And you're like, what in the world? I don't know what to do. But if you get your eyes off the problem, and you get your eyes off the cards that you see in front of you, you get your eyes off of the situation that you're in, and if you would just fix your eyes on Jesus, and just, he wants to remind you, man, if you fix your eyes on me, my hand will be with you. I will go before you. My spirit will fight the battles ahead of you. Come on, he just wants to encourage somebody today. I don't know who that is. And my friend Chance, he's a pastor at the Connection Church, the San Marcos campus, actually. And he's also my next door neighbor, which is really cool. And he sent me this illustration, and I just thought it was so perfect. He said, I heard you're talking about poker. I got an illustration for you. I said, all right, man. It was so perfect. I said, imagine you're playing regular poker and are dealt a 10, jack, queen, and an ace of hearts. This is called a royal flush. If you're holding this hand, nothing can beat it. You're going to win. And this is the hand, guys, that God deals us when he sent Jesus to the cross for you and for me. This is the hand that he deals you. So you might be looking at the temporal. You might be looking at what you can see and be like, man, I got a 2-3 in my hand. Like you're playing that kind of game, right? But God is saying, listen, if you would look to the spiritual realm, if you would look beyond the situation you're in right now and see that, man, you have already won the game because of Jesus. He deals us this perfect hand that no, you cannot lose now. No matter what happens to you, God will give you victory in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens to you right now, no matter what your life looks like today, man, it doesn't have to define tomorrow. That God can rewrite your story because of what Jesus is doing in your life. Man, Jesus has already won. And because he has already won, now we have already won. Amen? Would you stand with me today? The question simply is, will you go all in for Jesus, right? Will you go all in? Will you push all your chips to the center and go all in with him? I hope you will. And there's two groups of people, really, just the people that need to get right with God, that need to say yes to Jesus today. But there's that other group as well that just needs to be reminded, hey, you're going through a hard time, going through a struggle. Maybe you went through a hard time in the past, and you just need to know, and God can redeem that thing I went through to bless somebody else. I can be used by him. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask for that person first. Man, if you're struggling right now, you got some stuff going on, and you just need some prayer, and you needed that encouragement this morning, that God's hand is with you, that he is for you, and if he's for you, that no one can be against you. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand up in this place today? I just want to know who I'm praying with today. I'm going through a hard time, Pastor. I just need some prayer. I need that encouragement. Hands going up all over the place. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You can put your hands down. So many people that honestly, we don't know what you're dealing with. We have no idea, but God knows and he cares. And then that second group of people that I'm calling to go all in today, I need you to go all in with Jesus. Don't sit on the fence anymore. Why wait, man? God will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Even when the storms of life come, and they still will, you'll be able to weather the storm. You'll be able to handle it because you got a God that's on your side. His hand is with you. It's going before you. And he loves you so much that he brought you here today to tell you about his son, Jesus, who died for you, who was raised again for you, took all your sins upon his own back. And then the word of God says that those sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. You get a fresh start today. You're a new creation in Jesus when you give your life to him. And if that's you, you want to say yes to God, on the count of three, would you just raise your hand and look up at me so I know who I'm praying for? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I see you, man. Come on, I see you right here in the front. I see you guys. I just want you to look up at me so I know who I'm praying with, and then you can put your hand down. I want to make eye contact with you. Raise it high if you're raising it. Come on, I want to see you. We got 3 or 4 people so far. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Anybody else? You want to give your life to God today? Incredible. God is good. And let me pray for you. Lord, I'm so thankful and grateful for these people today that are going all in for you, that are giving their lives to you, Jesus. I pray that as they go on this new journey with you, that, Lord, you would encourage them, that you would put your hand with them, God, that you would go before them, Lord Jesus. And when the enemy tries to attack, now that they're having this moment with you and they're experiencing your love and they're experiencing your presence, God, the enemy's coming to attack. He's coming to play his hand against them. And God, I ask that you would remind them and show them how your hand is moving and how your hand is guiding and leading them in every area of their life from this day forward, God. Their sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, they are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you. And Lord, for all of those people that are struggling right now, that are dealing with something in their life, Lord, I pray that they're looking at this hand and they're seeing like, God, what in the world am I supposed to do here? How am I supposed to win? But God, you're saying, just wait. Just wait. Salvation is on the way. My hand is working in your life. Just trust me. Fix your eyes on me. Have faith in me today that I am good on my word and that I could take care of you. Put your trust and your faith in me today and your hope in Jesus Christ. And man, I believe, Lord, that you are going to show up in a powerful, powerful way in these people's lives. We declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, that salvation, that today is the day of salvation for somebody. Today is the day of encouragement for somebody. Today is the day where chains are breaking in the name of Jesus. And God, we worship you. We thank you and we lift up the name of your precious son, Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, amen. Come on, let's give God praise in this house today. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We got an amazing prayer team up front. If you are one of those ones that gave your life to the Lord, or you're one of those ones that's going through a hard time, I want you to know these people are prayed up and trained up, and they're ready to pray with you and to believe God for big things in your life. Come on and get some prayer. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.